Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is not good news, Cowboy fan. Byron Jones just went to the Pro Bowl, and he also just went under the knife. According to Todd Archer, Byron Jones underwent hip surgery this week. They're describing it as a cleanup. And the way it's being phrased is that Byron Jones has a shot at being ready for training camp, but is on a wait and see basis. That's not good.
No.
So what? I guess.
But you know what? It's not. They said they were trying to align his hips. And the other good news is he has never, ever
missed a game.
Missed a game.
Yep.
In his Cowboys career.
Yeah. So he's been Iron Man so far. And I guess he was having some discomfort. And they thought that maybe he could just wait it out and just let it go away, and it didn't. So now you've had some sort of hip surgery for Byron Jones coming off that Pro Bowl season and also going into the final year of his deal, where he's going to make $6-point-something million on the fifth-year option on his contract. And I will say this about Byron Jones. It's still strange to me that he seems to be the guy on the back burner when they're openly talking about contracts for, obviously, Tank, because he's been franchise tagged, but we're talking about Dak, we're talking about Zeke, who's years away. We are talking about Amari Cooper. That one makes sense. But I thought Byron Jones would be a prime candidate for an extension. And I'm starting to think that, I believe it was Fish was the first one to say he thinks he'll be the odd man out of the everybody's getting new deals, that he thought maybe it would be Byron Jones. I think that's totally wrong when it comes to team building, that you have a great corner and you're potentially willing to let him walk. Surgery, not good. But still, Cowboys, if you get Tank done, why don't you go ahead and call Byron? Get that going.
I think Byron's not going to get his money. I'm like Fish, and I'm going to say this, and I agree with your theory.
Oh, he'll get it. It just might not be from them.
It's going to be from somebody else. And the reason I agree with your theory, because we talked about the Patriots secondary makes the most money in the NFL, and the Baltimore Ravens do the same thing with their secondary. They pay their secondary. They don't pay their defensive line. So I believe in that philosophy. But I also looked at the Dallas Cowboys not letting Brandon Carr stay. To me, Byron Jones is Brandon Carr, because guess what he is? He's 4-tool. That missing fifth tool is he doesn't create a turnover.
Yeah.
Brandon Carr was here making $50 million, and everybody was mad because he didn't have any interceptions. There was no threat of him taking it back or even getting a deflection or stripping the ball. Byron Jones is a glove, and there are people who say he's just not a shutdown. And I think the Dallas Cowboys' philosophy is going to be the same, that guess what? He doesn't create or cause turnovers, and that's what the secondary is lacking. That's what Chris Richard wants, even though he likes Byron Jones. But you got to have the payoff of, if you want the big money, you got to be a threat the quarterback won't throw on you anyway, because he's not afraid of you picking it.
The Cowboys are about to be in a weird spot with the secondary, because we think that they just kind of fixed it. Doesn't it feel that way, where it's like Byron, and they got Cheeto, and they got Jordan, and they got Brown? Well,
sure.
Anthony Brown's got 1 year left. Byron Jones is in his last year. Cheeto and Jordan Lewis have two left. And then you're out of corners.
And you know what?
You just redid this whole thing. And it's like, hold on, you're about to have to do it again.
That's Stephen Jones' philosophy now. Think about this. He let all the secondary guys go when their contracts are going to be back up. And he drafted well.
And
that's why you've got these guys.
But now you've got a good secondary. And it's just strange to me that the really, really good one, the best one, they're like,
hey, whatever. I truly think they would extend these guys or extend one of them if he caused turnovers. And they don't have that. They're number 27 or 28 in the league.
Yeah. Woods is about to do it. Get ready.
I hope so.
Xavier Woods is about to start doing it. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. All right, second down. Here's Mike.
All right, so we have a mock draft from NFL.com, and this is a four-round mock draft. Let's concentrate on the second round, and let's concentrate around pick 58, the one that the Cowboys have. You know, it's a mock draft. So I think, Jeff, at pick 56, they have Irv Smith Jr. going. That seems like super-duper low for the Alabama tight end, unless I don't know something that's happened to his stock recently.
No, that seems pretty late. He didn't have a great combine. He's not like a super athlete, but he's a good player. I think he'll probably go somewhere between 25 and 40, if I had to guess.
All right, the Eagles pick right before the Cowboys, and they have Mack Wilson, linebacker of Alabama.
I love Mack Wilson. I don't know why he's not getting anywhere near the hype that
the other linebackers from Alabama get.
Well, Devin White and Devin Bush this year are the guys that are getting all the attention, and I get it because they're really good prospects, and it makes sense that they'll go in the first round, but they're also like guys that run a 4-4, and he's not the super athletic kind of guy, but he's the linebacker you picture. Like Devin White and Devin Bush are both like 5'11", 6 foot, kind of 225, 230 pounders. He's kind of the full-size guy that has the violence to his game that you look at him, you go, oh my God, yes, linebacker. But I guess we're just leaning more towards the hyper-athletic guys these days. And so Cowboys don't need a linebacker, but if I do and I'm in the second round, I love Mack Wilson.
They have at 58 the Cowboys taking Miles Boykin, wide receiver at Notre Dame.
He had a freaking awesome combine, which made he got moved to the very top of the list of people to watch because after the combine, I was like, how come I haven't heard of Miles Boykin? What an awesome combine. And his numbers were just like 800 and something yards, and he's solid. I don't think his game tape, I don't know if it's worth being picked in the second round, but at receiver, I think when you combine that with how athletic are you, how big, how strong, how fast, how good do I think you can be, that might make sense. He's probably not my top receiver at number 58, but I do like him.
59, they have the Colts taking Taylor Rapp, safety, Washington.
He will not be there. If he is, I want him. If Taylor Rapp makes it to 58, I don't think he makes it to 59.
Okay.
Taylor Rapp, I think, is the smoothest, most reliable safety in this draft. He's the guy that...
You would take him number one safety overall, or is he rated as your number one safety overall?
Yes. Taylor Rapp is my top safety. Some people have Nasir Adderley out of Delaware or Jonathan Abram out of Mississippi State. Taylor Rapp's my guy, and he'll be one of the first three safeties taken, I think, for sure. And I can't imagine he makes it to 58, but he's also a Cowboy visitor. So if he made it to 58... He's literally perfect to put with Xavier Woods because you could leave Xavier Woods back and you'd be having a guy playing down who can cover a little bit, does not miss tackles, is super football smart. Taylor Rapp would be an awesome fit.
Let me run down pick 60 through 62 here and you can say if you like any of these guys. We have Rennell Wren, defensive tackle, Arizona State.
Not that early.
Okay. Mecole Hardman, wide receiver, Georgia.
I'm a big Mecole Hardman fan. We talked about him. He is the littler guy. He's track speed, 4.3 guy at Georgia. He was their big play guy. They would sometimes jet sweep it to him. Mm-hmm. Screens, vertical, after catch, nightmare, return guy. Mecole Hardman, I would love if he's going to go that high. That might be a little bit high for me, but I do like him.
Deebo Samuel.
He's my favorite
South
receiver.
South Carolina.
Deebo. That's my favorite receiver. He's not my top receiver. He's my favorite receiver because he's not a 4.3 guy. He's not a 6'3" guy. Mm-hmm. He's just a really good player. He's physical. He's tough after the catch. He's a really good route runner. He's kind of my Michael Gallup this year. If they were going to pick a receiver at 58, he's my favorite one because he's one of those guys. He'll be in my top 10 of guys where you said, hey, Jeff, name me 10 guys that you have to bet they'll be a productive player for 8 years. Deebo would be one of mine.
The last two picks NFL.com's mock draft have in the second round, they have Penn State senior Amari Ukawari.
Yeah, saying his name is a challenge, but he's
cornerback.
He's really good. He tested incredible at the combine, which made us watch him that next night too. He's really good. Here's the problem, and I don't know if this is how important this is to the Cowboys. He ain't tackling. I mean, at all.
He's just a hitter?
It seems
No. He's not a hitter. He will actively move out of the way.
Ole.
And you will run by.
Ole. He's a matador.
Yeah, but he's one of those over 6'1", super duper athlete, covers fairly well, has the physical tools to cover super well, and the contact part of the game does not seem like it's for him. That's him.
I wonder if you can put that in a guy a little bit. That just doesn't seem like a guy that Chris Richard would want.
I don't think so. Legion of Boom? Mm-hmm.
And that's Greedy Williams, too, the LSU corner that a lot of people love. He's a really good man cover guy. He don't want any part of tackling you.
And neither did Deion Sanders, but Deion had other things.
If you're going to be the best cover guy ever, I don't need you to tackle.
Right.
But the thing is, Deion would kind of tackle. Yeah. He would throw his shoulder body at your leg. Yeah.
And then the last pick in the second round they have, Dremont Jones, Ohio State junior defensive tackle.
People used to talk about him as a first rounder. I get it. You know what? If they took him at 58, I'd be fine with it because he's somewhat productive rushing the passer because of his quickness and just the athletic ability. But he's one of those guys, and this is weird in football, because they go, set! Hut, hut! And on that second hut when the ball is snapped, Draymond Jones goes like this. He goes.
He jumps
He stands straight up. He's like, here I am. Block me. And I guess that you shouldn't freak out too bad about that because you're like, okay, that's technique. We can fix that. Hey, Draymond, when they snap the ball, please move forward and keep your pads down. Thanks. But it's just I don't know
he
how
just
you
stand still.
I don't know how you get through a career at Ohio State. Not stand still.
He just doesn't.
But he gives his whole chest
off.
To you. It's like here,
off.
Block me.
Right.
So when he pass rushes and he really is like firing off and making a move, you're like, okay, that guy's got it. He can pass rush. But he's a stand up guy and it just bothers me. Mm. Just bothers me. All right, that's second down. Here's Chris with third.
Hey, how did guys like the way the Indianapolis Colts look for next year?
I know they have like $100 million.
Yes, they do.
And look all right. I mean, it was really weird. They spent it on Devin Funchess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have too much money. You can just give too much to whoever you want.
But you kind of like the way they played last year, right?
Yeah.
Great draft, right? I mean, they drafted arguably the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year.
And Andrew Luck is back, right?
Right, that helps.
So, you're like, this team is going some places, right? Frank Wright is their coach, and he said something at the team meetings in Phoenix that makes people rub their eyes and go, is he on to something? I want to know if you guys think he's on the right path or if he's delusional. He says, our goal is to be a top five or top seven rushing team. By the way, they finished 20th in rushing yards with a 107 a game, and they finished with a 4.2 per rush average. That's 21st in the league as well. So they're not known to be a running team, even though they ran down the Cowboys' throats. That one game the Cowboys got beat down in, shocked the world on the Cowboys' defense.
Right.
So he says, quote, I just have a really strong conviction that that's what it takes. In this day of high-scoring, crazy pass offenses, and all that's true, but if you look at the numbers, you got to be good at running the football. There's exceptions to that, but the percentages are with you. If you're a top 10 rushing team, you got to be much better if you're going to win. And it says the best NFL offensives pass to get ahead and run to burn the clock out to protect that lead. So his statement makes sense, assuming that the order remains in that order if the Colts are able to jump out to early leads. Do y'all believe in that? Now, I'm not saying pay a running back. It's not about paying running backs. It's about using the running game.
Oh, I think being able to run the ball is important. But I mean, he said it as a guy that sounds like an old school football guy where it's like, we got to establish the run. It's like, yeah, we're going to throw the ball so that we can move the ball and score the points. And mm-hmm. we'd like to be able to run the ball to end the game. So even he is acknowledging the way that we're going to move the ball and score is Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton.
Right.
And now, we'd like to end it by running.
And by the way, that formula worked to perfection when they beat the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they did. It's basically what the Cowboys have been doing when they had Romo and DeMarco and when they had Aikman and Emmett and when they had Dak and Zeke the first year when they were like, 13-3.
I will say, the Chiefs are doing.
It does help out a lot. In this aspect, since Aaron Rodgers has kind of lost a running game, and it could be more on the offensive line than the running backs that he's had, as they've gone to a wide receiver in Ty Montgomery recently to kind of run the football, and I know that's over and done with, but when he had guys that you're like, hey, you know what? They can kind of run the football. Aaron Rodgers seemed to be more MVP candidate, and as they've not been able to run the football, Aaron Rodgers is still giving you moments, but it's not the dominant Aaron Rodgers that we saw before.
I think you'd like to be able to do enough that the teams have to just respect.
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
It's the threat of it all. To me, the Rams are so successful because Todd Gurley can run, and that CJ was able to establish a run against the Cowboys, but your quarterback has to be able to throw, and you got to have the wide receivers, but it's the threat of which,
Yeah, I mean, my philosophy about Zeke is that he's not, like, I could find you a running back. If you said, hey, Zeke doesn't exist, I could get 85 to 90% of his job done without investing too much to do it. The benefit of Zeke is that his name is Zeke. That's the benefit, is that during the week, they're going to look at it and be like, hey, pay attention. We got to really worry about this guy. And that gives you opportunity somewhere else. But I think your biggest advantage is just who they are, not what they physically do.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. I'm agreeing with you. Notice I'm agreeing with you because I agree. I think the big thing is you've got, and this is where, that's why I'm glad they got rid of, what's his name? Scott Linehan.
Yeah.
You can't just say, damn it, we've got Zeke.
Yeah, here we come.
You've got to trick it up. But at least you have a threat of Zeke. You got the threat of Gurley. You got the threat of a real running game. But I'm not saying overpay running backs. I'm just saying you've got to have a real threat if you're going to make the whole thing work. And that's why even with Kansas City, you had Kareem Hunt for a while.
Well, yeah, but they got it done just as well with
without him.
Damian Williams, mm-hmm. and then I even forget who the third one was because mm-hmm. they just kept losing guys.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.